Greg Gould, welcome to 3CR.
Thanks for having me.
What a fantastic concept. You and Emily Williams doing Whitney Houston and George Michael. What's the backstory to it?
I mean, Emily's just an incredible singer, and we've been friends for some years, and we've always wanted to do something like this, but we were both doing different things. She went off and did The Bodyguard in the UK. I've been touring, and yeah, the timing was right, and we both love these artists. Obviously, she's got a history with Whitney Houston, given she literally played her on the West End, whereas me, George Michael's always been a huge influence on me. I actually performed the tribute to George Michael at the Mardi Gras the year after he passed. So it was just a natural that we would pay homage to our two favourite artists.
How hard is it to sing George Michael songs?
Look, I have a big range, so it's not necessarily vocally demanding, but it's more about getting into the emotional intention of those songs. He writes some beautiful lyrics and beautiful melodies that I think need to be respected, and these stories need to be told with integrity and respect. And that's kind of more what I find with George Michael, is they're beautiful love stories or important messages, and that's more not difficult, but that's what I make sure that I do.
I mean, you're a great interpreter of a song. I went for a walk yesterday by the Mooney Ponds Creek, and I had your playlist just rolling on Spotify, you know. And what struck me is your interpretation. I mean, for example, you did Mondo Rocks, Come Said the Boy. You did U2. Just extraordinary.
Oh, thank you. Look, yeah, if I'm going to take on a show or a song or a cover or something like that, I definitely like to put myself in it while still respecting the original source material. So if I'm taking on a George Michael show, you're still going to get a bit of Greg Gould.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And how does that manifest? Like, what is Greg Gould on stage?
Hectic. I actually once asked my backing vocalist that. I said, "What's it like to work with me?" She said, "Hectic, but in a good way. Like, you never know what to expect. I'm pretty spontaneous. I'm a lot of fun. I'm a bit cheeky, but I also just love music, and I think that's probably what comes across."
How different is your onstage persona to Greg Gould outside of music?
Not very different. We're pretty much the same. I'm just as crazy.
Hey, look, I've got to ask you, was that you in the car with Dita Khoury going to Bendigo Pride Festival?
That certainly was. We're talking about when the car broke down?
Well, I'm just amazed that there were these two amazing vocalists in the car together. And I'm thinking, what did you sing? Did you sing anything? Did you do a duet in the car with Dita Khoury?
I do love to sing with Dean, and we definitely sang across the festival. But I think because we've sung together a few times now, there's no rehearsals going on in that car. We were just having a good old yarn. Dean and I, the most we see each other is normally when we're working. So to have a road trip to actually just chat was actually quite beautiful.
So what was it like having the two of you on stage together in Bendigo? Like, what was the energy like, and how did it feel?
I mean, Froc Hudson's pretty camp, so you're going to have that camp, fabulous energy for sure. Look, Dean's one of my favourite human beings. He's a great performer and a great entertainer and a great ambassador for the queer community, but he's also just a wonderful human being. So we just love singing together.
So you're doing Keep the Faith with Emily Williams. It's at the Brunswick Ballroom this Friday night, the 4th of July. What's your favourite song that you're going to be singing and why?
Ooh, I actually love a lot of the songs that George covered. So he did great versions of Somebody to Love by Queen as a tribute to Freddie when he passed. He did actually the last song he ever recorded was a version of Feeling Good by Nina Simone. And I actually did that as my grand final song for Australia's Got Talent. So I put that in the show. But I think the song I would like performing most is his version of Bonnie Raitt's "I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't." That one.
Such a beautiful song. And I mean, I love her story, how, you know, she made this huge comeback and had her biggest successes when she was in her 40s.
And then Did you see her winning the Song of the Year Grammy about maybe 2 or 3 years ago? And she was so shocked. I mean, it wasn't, to be honest, I don't necessarily think, I don't know how that got through. I love Bonnie Raitt, but she was up against these mega records of the year. So I mean, it also made me have a bit of hope that sometimes it's just about simple songwriting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that simple songwriting has, I don't know, often has a magic, doesn't it, that gives it so much complexity through the simplicity.
Yes, that sometimes it's not all about the production and the TikToks and all the other things that our industry is now built on, that sometimes just a good song can cut through.
Now, you take a song and you're not ashamed or afraid or hesitant to make it a bit risque. I mean, for example, you did Mondo Rocks' Come Said the Boy. That was a little bit controversial in 1983 when it was released, but it was a massive hit.
Yes.
But in 2025, it potentially is very controversial. You didn't shy away from that. Similarly with U2's In the Name of Love, with that great line, "One man comes in the name of love." I mean, you're not afraid, are you, to go there?
Look, these songs have stood the test of time. They've had their controversy. Now I think it's just about celebrating good music. And both of those songs that you've mentioned, they're actually not my Dave O'Day asked me to be on In the Name of Love with some pretty amazing artists like Crystal Waters. And the Mondo Rock song was actually the Antipodeans, who I was on tour with for Symphony. So I was more just guest vocaling. I don't know if that's a word. We're going to say it's a word. Guest vocalist on these songs. So yeah, I didn't really overthink it. I just put my vocals to these iconic songs.
Now, with Keep the Faith, how does it work? Do you do just George Michael songs, or do you do some Whitney, and does Emily Williams do some George Michael?
Like, I think you have to buy a ticket to find that out, love. No. It is a bit of a mix, but it is mostly me doing George and her doing Whitney, but we do a couple of crossovers for sure.
Wow. So you do some Whitney Houston. How hard is she to sing?
Well, they're more Whitney duets, so I'm really singing the duet part, except I do sing one song with her that's a Whitney song. It's actually my favorite, which is Step by Step. Look, Whitney is the voice. She's the, to me, Whitney and John Farnham are the voices. So, you know, it's no mean feat, but I mean, when you got someone like Emily Williams, you're in good hands.
How do you train your voice? I mean, obviously it's an instrument and obviously it's an organic creature that's got a life of its own sometimes. How do you train it and how do you keep it in shape?
I had lessons growing up. I did talent schools and things like that. But I feel like the most is just getting to know your body and your muscle. And of course there's techniques and important things that you need to learn along the way. And I definitely I'm always learning. But I look after myself. Us musicians don't, or I'm going to speak for singers, we don't get to have the same amount of fun as everybody else sometimes, because we have to look after our bodies. We're going to have to look after our voices and our health. So we're not, you know, I don't get to party as much or whatever, but I love what I do. So I look after my voice and I get enough rest.
Historically, out gay men have struggled to kind of make it in the mainstream music industry. Do you see yourself as a trailblazer in that area?
I don't know about trailblazer. I definitely was around at a time that was a lot harder when I first started and was told a lot of things that I hope and I don't think they say to people today, like coming out would be career suicide and, you know, when I did, they were just like, "Oh, we'll keep you in mind for Mardi Gras," and I just, they put me in such a box of gay, whereas being gay is just one part of who I am. I'm an artist. I've got something to say just as much as everybody else.
So tacitly, you know, like they didn't overtly say it, but by saying, "Oh yeah, we'll keep you in mind for Mardi Gras," it's kind of like they were trying to kill your career.
Well, when you put it that way, it just felt like I was in a box and okay, you're going to come out, you're going to be gay. Well, then we'll just keep you in mind for gay things. Well, hold on. I'm just a human being. Just because I like men doesn't mean that I'm less an artist. And it's becoming less taboo, but I still think there's a long way to go.
How are you able to cut through that? I mean, a lot of artists would just crawl up and die and, you know, they would let the industry kill them off or, you know, they would feel so devastated that they wouldn't be able to overcome it. How are you able to do it?
I've just got this drive and this passion for what I do, and I know there's a space for me. And so I would say my thank you goes to the spaces that do support queer artists, and they are out there, and there's people that will support you. And if they don't support you, then they're not your people.
And I guess too, I mean, you've got that big voice. It's hard to shut that down, isn't it? Like, I guess your response to trying to restrict Greg Gould is just to start singing. You know, it's like, yeah, you think you're going to stop my career?
True. Look, I've never had a fear that they'll stop my career, but I definitely feel like I have had less opportunities in the past because of it. But it's kind of going the other way now, and I feel like with all the wonderful pride festivals and things, and I also now get opportunities that other people don't get because I've been through all that, and I do fly the flag. And yes, I absolutely will sing them under the table. So I don't mind letting my talent speak for myself.
So, I mean, you're kind of like an elder in the music industry. I don't want to kind of, you know. But I mean, you kind of feel like, you know, you are a bit of an elder because you cut through during a different era where they were just trying to consign you to Mardi Gras and see you later, babe.
Look, I don't know if I've considered myself an elder yet because there's still people I look up to that are still out there doing it that are much older than me and had to go through a lot more than I had to, you know, and like you gotta remember something like Mardi Gras that started as a march and people throwing bricks in windows and riots with police. A lot of people went through a lot of things and sacrificed and did that so that we can celebrate the way we do today. I'm definitely someone that has been, you know, I was definitely at the forefront of the marriage equality fight, and I've always used my art and what I do to try and help support the queer community and the wider community as well to understand us and not be threatened by us and not be scared about us. But I don't think I consider myself an elder quite yet. Just like people that started to already say, oh, he's an icon at this point. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like I'll give me another 10 years and we'll talk.
Do you see yourself as an activist? I mean, when you were just talking about, you know, being involved in marriage equality, for example, I thought he's an activist.
It's definitely part of what I do, 100%. Like my last album, I tackled things like sexual assault and mental health, and they're things that are really important for me. So I would say there's activism in what I do, and I'll stand up for what I think is important, whether it's the queer community, whether it's mental health for men, whether it's women standing up and standing beside women, trans people, any minority, and something that strikes a chord with me, I'm going to put my hand up, or I might put it in a song. So you know what? If you cross me, just be careful. I might put you in a song.
Speaking of songs, are you working on any new material at the moment?
I absolutely am, and I only just posted a photo of me in the sound booth, the vocal booth the other day, working on a new original song with the amazing Carice Eden.
Oh, wow. So what's the song about? Do tell.
I'm not going to give too much away. Carice wrote it, so it's kind of her – that's up to her. It's an amazing song, though, and it's very relatable. And it is kind of about our business, the music business, and navigating that. But I'll leave it at that in terms of what the song's about because we're not quite ready to share it yet. But, yeah, we're actually on tour as well. We've got a show, Letting the Tramp, we're kicking off in Wynnum Fringe in Queensland, and then it's coming to Melbourne. We've got three shows in Victoria as well. So that's all the soul, blues, jazz artists, Amy Winehouse, Ella Fitzgerald, Janis Joplin, Prince, you name it.
Wow. And I mean, you're not scared to sing the greats, are you? And that's testament to your voice. I mean, you could obviously sing what they sang.
Look, I have the gift that I have, and I mean, Carice has got a mighty beast of a voice. She's an incredible singer. And that's probably what's excited me most about this tour, working with singers like Emily Williams for the George and Whitney show this weekend. And Carice, like, I'm very spoiled, I feel, to work with singers at that such a high level.
Greg Gould, great to hear your voice on 3CR. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, James.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.